CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com. It's 3 minutes after seven. I hope your day is off to an awesome start. We're here to look after you this morning and talk about a whole bunch of things that we think might be interesting and or entertaining to you, including secession of the Cape from the rest of the country. We'll talk to someone a little bit later on who's actually trying to put that into action. And there are lots of people in the Cape who would support that. I don't know how the rest of us would feel having to use a passport to get into Cape Town, but Hein Marks is the president of the United Liberty Alliance. And there are over 24 active separatist movements in Europe alone. So the whole idea, I mean, you know about the Basque separatists in Spain, right? And you know about the smaller sort of nations that have broken off in the past from their parent nations. We know about little countries like Liechtenstein and what's the other one called?
Luxembourg.
Yeah. So it's entirely possible for a city to separate out from the rest of the country. Maybe we should explore this.
Look, we already refer to Cape Town as a different country.
Correct. So. We jokingly say that it's the Republic of Cape Town. So let's see. Maybe they want to do that for real.
There might be something there.
Yeah, we'll find out a little bit later on. And maybe they'll, I don't know, maybe they can run themselves a little better than they're currently being run. Who knows? Much to discuss.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start off this morning?
Well, news of the day. Authorities are bracing themselves for a Gauteng shutdown today.
Oh, no. Pumi was telling me about this earlier. Apparently, people cannot get public transport in and out of
So Nico couldn't Joburg. Get here today. My intern, I got a message from her at 4:38 telling me that she can't get out because she lives in Protea Glen. And she couldn't get out. And she normally takes the N12. So right. She couldn't get through a by road that takes her to the freeway to get through. Yeah. But I just spoke to my mom, who's on the almost tail end coming into the city, right? So she's from Pimville. Mm-hmm. And she's at work. And she only saw one disturbance near Orlando.
But basically, if you wanted to catch a bus or a taxi this morning, it's going to be very difficult.
So there is, apparently there's some Rea Vaya buses that are making their way through. So they do have some routes that are escorted by police and that are being escorted by police or Metro Police. And this morning, very early, kind of around 5:30 when I left home, the Metro Police, JMPD, alerts were that they are out, they are in Soweto, they're checking out the scene. So this was in a WhatsApp group, Wayne Minar and friends.
He says officers will be deployed and we will work with other law enforcement agencies. We will deal with it as it unfolds.
But I would be very interested because the initial kind of voice notes and WhatsApps that were coming through yesterday.
You are in some very interesting WhatsApp groups as a sidebar anyway.
This is so weird to people, right?
Okay.
Was that Tembisa, Alexander, and I think Mabupane?
Yeah, Soweto, Alexandra, Tembisa, Eldorado Park, and the Val are expected to participate.
So what does this mean? I mean, if you're a person who just needs to get to work this morning, you've got stuff to do.
So
you're just screwed.
Or you can go and see, you know.
Sure.
Try your luck. Go out there and see if you can get to work. I was saying to my mom when I was speaking to her this morning that it's also going to be... So getting out, because a lot of people get up and get out quite early, right? Getting out might not be as hard as trying to get back in. Because we don't know what the development during the course of the day will be like. I was just interested to see how the whole thing would unfold. Because this is not the same. So this is not the same as kind of in the 80s when we could have consumer boycotts. There was a lot less, you know, there were a lot less kind of arteries getting out of the township. There was a lot less opportunity to tell people what's happening in other places that you can, you know. So it really became, because you were so isolated, it really became harder and harder. So if you were in a part of the township where everybody was saying, oh, there's a strike, you had no way of knowing if in the next township people can get to work. So that kind of disintermediation worked.
But now with the internet, we can obviously find out what's going on. But what is the problem? I mean, why are we protesting at the moment? Who's angry and what's the reason?
It's around electricity and service delivery issues.
So as we've had this conversation before about the historical debt of Soweto, but also something that's become emergent, right, is that they feel that Soweto is being disproportionately load shed. So we have no load shedding. We have load shedding schedules here, and we may have no load shedding, but I go home and they've had no power for 12 hours. And nobody's talking about it. Like, there's no notice, there's no... So the disproportionate load shedding, the historical debt, the service delivery...
So are they upset because they haven't paid and now they're being punished for it?
Well, they're upset because what was promised hasn't been delivered.
Which was?
And what was promised is that where there's a historical debt, which precedes 94, which is also about... You know, it's about the areas
Just
of the township.
Just go back to before 94.
Absolutely.
Didn't realize that.
Absolutely. And it's about areas that were, what were they called, like squatter camps and informal settlements and all of that. So it's quite a contentious issue. And then it is also around, people were promised that, so the historical debt is one big thing, that people were promised that it would be zero rated and everybody would start from scratch. There were promises that they would be just like water, that they'd be a pro rata kind of for indigent households and all of that kind of stuff, that they would be a pro rata.
Who made these promises? The government? All right.
Take a guess.
So hang on, the people of Soweto are surprised that government lied. Jesus, it's taken them a long time. There's not a lot of wisdom in that place if they really believed government. Sure.
And so tensions have come to a head. But you know what else it is? It's also, and this is something that we've seen in South Africa over the years, right? Is when there's economic strife, it creates fertile ground for political outbursts. So almost throughout the history of South Africa, kind of even during the apartheid days, where you would see economic strife, you would then see the flare-ups. So kind of in, yeah. I think, 64, whatever, there was a recession and there was a big push around the economic. Because of the economic thing, there was a lot of political unrest. In the 70s, you see a recession dip.
Yep.
And obviously in the 80s, which was for us quite a long recessionary period, is you see quite a lot more so when you have economic strife, people are around and they are able to be organized in that way. And we have a huge unemployment rate. So if you drive around Soweto right now, you see lots of young people kind of milling around the streets. They're easy to mobilize into because they're there. They're there and they're angry. Yeah. You know, so sure. All of these things, multiple heads of a serious problem.
I want to play a bit of game theory here. So what would be the right outcome? Do the protesters have a plan? Like, what would they ideally like to happen? What would be their best case scenario? What are the victory conditions?
You know, I wish I knew.
There aren't any.
Just citing what...
This is just an infantile outburst, really, about like things are unfair, we're feeling pressured, we're not getting electricity, wah.
Citing what the organizer has said in his...
Is this Trevor Gwan?
This is Tami Hukwe.
Okay.
Tami Hukwe has said that they want an immediate response to their long-time demands, which include free and quality electricity, as well as decent housing and jobs. And they say their plan for today is blocking roads and interfering with shopping malls and business operations
in these targeted areas. I want 2 million rand in my account tomorrow. And I'm just going to make it impossible for everybody else to work here until that happens.
So if
that sounds like a great plan. They want quality free electricity.
Free and quality electricity.
Uh-huh. And they want free housing.
Decent housing and jobs.
So if the past is the best way to determine.
People.
So if the past is the best way to determine what future outcomes would be.
Yeah.
You are dealing with a community that absolutely understands how making a country ungovernable can yield what they want.
but they're not going to get what they want. They've already given up on that by the sound of things.
You know, so this is
they're making
the thing
unrealistic
for me, is
demands.
That's what we see in South Africa across the board. When we see violent protests to service delivery, when we see burning of property and all of that kind of stuff.
They're not going to get what they want and things are going to get worse, but they still protest. Yeah. Like if it was better organized, like let's make a reasonable demand. Let's say, okay, we would like to find a way to shed, let's say, a quarter of that debt. And we will put into play these conditions. We will raise, I don't know, we'll do a stock fell in the community and we'll try and pay you off a little piecemeal over 50 years, if that be the case. And people would say, all right, well, maybe we can work with this. Maybe there'd be a way we can do this.
Yeah, and all I'm but saying no is plan. That sounds very similar. It sounds very similar to P.W. Botha saying, listen, guys, it's unreasonable. What you want, it will collapse our economy. Right? And the response was, we will just ramp up the ungovernability.
And what
of
happens,
the country.
That's exactly where we end up. We end up worse than when we started. Now, surely people have, at very least, a survival instinct here.
But you did also end up with the government capitulating to, okay, let's open it up. Let's let everybody participate. Let us let everybody vote.
It wasn't because of protests in Soweto. No, it was a small part of it, but it wasn't just because of that.
But if you were a person that was in those protests, all you know is that I contributed to getting us here where
But
we
you
are.
Just said yourself, and by statistical data available now, we can tell that most of the protests happen when there's economic difficulty, right? When people are struggling, money-wise. So if you want to make things worse for yourself, stop people from going to work. It's just I understand that there is a huge disconnect in this country between the way people feel and the way people think. I get that. But this is about maturity. And we have to move to a point in this country where we can actually start to understand why our lives are shit. And how we are personally responsible for some of this. And how we should not allow the politicians or the taxi bosses or anyone else to regulate our lives.
But hold on, Gareth. Why do we not say the things they're asking for are clearly possible? If it's possible for a man to renovate his house for 240 million rand, these requests are not impossible.
Totally agree.
So for me, as a middle class or whatever you might call me, citizen living in the northern suburbs, I go, you know, protest is a deeply political act. When people in Soweto are doing this, why do we separate ourselves from that? We're in something called, Henry Rousseau called a social contract. What happened to that? We're a part of their problem. We mustn't go... We mustn't go, they're doing it over there. No. If we're in a society and we claim we are,
well,
we're a part of it.
What does a social contract mean?
So the social contract is a thing. It was, I think, late 18th century, right?
Jean-Jacques Rousseau, not Henry Rousseau.
Sorry, Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Two different guys.
Yeah.
So he said, look, you give up some of your power as a citizen to people to govern you and they make the rules. But then you're
like
also
living in a democracy.
Well, they'll like in our time, they'll give me water. They'll make it safe for me in the streets. If you want to think in a modern context, part of giving that up, though, is that I'll also be a responsible citizen. So both of us have to play a thing. But here's the thing is that if you want to be part of a society, when bad things happen, you don't go, oh, those people over there.
Yeah.
No. I'm a part of that. Rich or poor.
Like Bernie says, it's us. It's not me. Happy birthday to us. I just want to read some of these messages. And this is a good point that's being made, linked to a story we did earlier. Podge says, Makane and the Eastern Cape just won a court case to dissolve their municipality and have it placed under administration. The tide is turning against bad governance.
Absolutely.
So, instead of protesting against God knows who, because I don't know who the protest is directed against other than Soweto residents who seem to be the only one punished by it. I mean, everyone else will carry on. They'll be fine. So Soweto residents are punishing Soweto residents. They're not punishing the government. No one is impeding Cyril's progress today. So I don't know who you're protesting against. Again, game theory, victory conditions. How will you know when you've won? If you're just protesting because you're cross, there's no victory in that. If you don't win something, why take part?
And as a lefty myself, this is where we failed drastically over the last 40, 50 years, right? As leftists is, I don't know if you've seen the movie V for Vendetta. Have you seen that film?
No.
Okay. So in V for Vendetta, Natalie Portman and her crew overthrow the government and the great Slavoj Žižek.
Natalie Portman.
I don't know if it's Natalie Portman that it's not. It's
okay,
V.
Stay on track. It. Let's Natalie stay on Portman. Track. Your point.
V is the person that sets out. It's
all right. I want to get back to these messages. So Mbulelo, you're out of here. So Graham says, Rousseau, please don't quote an odious postmodern merchant of resentment, deconstructivism, and collectivism. That guy can kiss my Western ass.
Oh. Wow.
All right. How about these Soweto people stop voting for the ANC and maybe something different will happen? Like Einstein says, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And same as this shit, EFF march to ESCOM, march against load shedding and privatization. So dumb. Can't have both. But you see, this is the point, right? Pumi, Soweto did not pay for power. Even after 94, so now they want to cry about being load shed. Cry me a river. There's not a lot of sympathy for Soweto outside of Soweto at the moment. I've read somewhere that if Gauteng seceded from the rest of South Africa, it would be the only country with the fifth largest GDP on the continent. F Cape Town, that's clear.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a lot of people agreeing with Sia about AVOs. We brought this up as a conversation earlier. I'm with you, Pumi. Sia does not like avocados. He is delighted that there is a shortage, and he thinks that they are horrible and have the what consistency of?
Baby food.
The.
And the taste of paper.
Well,
I
don't know
what I stand by it.
What kind of avos you've been eating?
It's unbelievable.
That? And it's also expensive. I don't get why you guys torture yourselves like that. Random Oprah mention of the day. So even Oprah recognizes that avocados are expensive. So what does she do? She always travels with her own avocado.
Oh my God.
And because they're so expensive, she doesn't buy them because she decided to grow her own avocado orchard.
Oh my God. I know who also grows avos? Tito Mboweni.
I've got an avocado tree.
Have we seen that on Twitter?
Mm.
As but he told, posted about it.
He told the story of, on this show, he told the story of how his first avo harvest went and it did not go well because nobody told him how to look after the avo trees that he'd planted and they all died in the first year. And then he started asking his neighbors and they were like, oh, you do this and you do that. He's like, guys, why didn't you tell me this before?
Well, Rule Causa left Nedbank and he is now one of the biggest exporters of avocados out of this country.
Smart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Smart.
Rule Causa left Nedbank and took his payout. Didn't blow it. He
invested in avos.
Avocado farmer.
It's a good business to be in.
We didn't get to chat about this yesterday, but tell me if this changes the price of your bread after the president announced this on Friday. The fact that MPs are getting just a slight increase in their salary, but cabinet ministers are getting nothing.
Oh, shame.
Mm-hmm.
Must be so hard for them with their housing paid for. Their transport paid for.
They already get. They already get almost like $1.5 million a year. That's their.
Yeah, that's
like,
their salary. That's what, and most of it is savings.
Yeah, so I have a list of some of the salaries as they stand currently. Do you want to hear some of it?
As tweeted by Tito. Huh?
Yeah, go on.
So the speakers of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces and the Deputy President get an annual salary of 2.825 million rands.
Jesus Christ.
Cabinet ministers get an annual salary of 2.4 million rands. Provincial premiers get 2.6 million rands. Deputy ministers, the Deputy Speaker of the National Assembly, they stand at 1.9 million rands. And the list just goes on and on and on. Deputy provincial speakers, 1.6 million rand. Chairpersons of committees in parliament, 1.4 million rand. Committee chairs and the leader of the opposition and provincial legislators stand at 1.3 million rand.
Unbelievable.
Leaders of minority parties, the deputy chief whip of the majority party and the chief whip of the second largest party in parliament get 1.3 million rand as well. The provincial deputy committee chairs get 1.2 million rands.
It should be, you should not get a salary if you want to be in government. Really, your expenses are all covered, basic expenses. You get free housing. You get free transport. You get free international trips.
You get all kinds security. Of things.
Security, the lot. So all you really have to spend on is your food.
And you should get food stamps.
You should get food stamps. Absolutely. And your children should go to state schools. And you should go to state hospitals. And not get no preferential treatment. Let me be clear. If you're the Minister of Health and you have a sore foot, you should go and line up like everyone else. That is
what
government
should. And the health system you govern, right?
Exactly.
And our president is staying at 2.9 million rands.
Oh, shame. It must be so difficult for him. The guy has got billions. Cyril has got billions.
What happened to
him? Why does he need a salary? You know, Donald Trump's an asshole, and he gives away his entire salary as president of the United States.
Did the president?
Why? Because he entered the office as a billionaire. Now, can Cyril not do that?
Did our president say he would donate a salary?
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
To whom?
Well, let's find out.
Yeah, bo.
I'd be more than willing to apologize if he is doing that. But 2.9 million rand for what? Cutting ribbons, making the occasional speech.
Why aren't there job reviews live on TV for us to see? You know when you're sitting down?
You're fantasizing.
Yeah, uyenzeni this year, chief. Because you came here with your big stomach. What have you done this year? You are mad.
Listen to Joe Biden. There's a guy running for the office of president of the United States. Listen to how deranged he is. He is completely senile. I want you to listen to this carefully because he's running for president. He says, I'm running for the United States Senate. Uh-oh. And they say if they don't like him, he says, if you don't like me, you can vote for the other Biden. He's deranged. Listen to this. The poor guy. They should have let him retire. Listen to Joe.
And you're the ones that sent Barack Obama the presidency. And I have a simple proposition here. I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other Biden. Give me a look, though, okay? That's all I've really got to say to you. I'm about...
It's just unbelievable. He's totally senile.
Or was it meant as like a bad joke?
No, he's not joking. He keeps forgetting where he is. He was in Nevada the other day and he thought he was in California.
It's very bad.
It's really, really bad. He's totally out of sorts. And I think he's exhausted and he doesn't want to be there. He's the establishment candidate. And they've pushed him onto the stage. The guy does not want this. And the only person who could save him, who? Barack Obama. You think he's going to come riding in and save Joe now? It's embarrassing.
So, speaking of tired politicians,
yes,
in the international political space,
yes,
why or why have we not spoken about the Prime Minister of Lesotho, Ntate Tom Thabane?
It has come up, but what do you have to say?
Have Pumi, but you go ahead.
Mudimu. What kind of shit show is happening there in the Mountain Kingdom?
Murder, she wrote.
Yeah. We've got murder. He's now been implicated too.
I can't believe he wasn't implicated first, though.
Yeah.
He had the most to gain, right, from the death of his, like, estranged wife. Why is it that it's always the, when it comes to black men, it's always the black woman to blame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works out best for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just blame the black woman.
Guys.
So he's asking for immunity now. I don't know if you've seen the latest developments.
Yeah, because he's now here. He's in South Africa. He's run off into South Africa and he's like.
So why are we allowing him to stay here? It's like when we let Omar al-Bashir come and stick around here while he was being wanted all over the world for crimes against humanity. We have a problem with de Klerk sitting in our parliament, but we don't seem to have a problem with Omar al-Bashir.
I think we need to
Tom Thabane, a murderer.
I had this conversation with Makatlego. Makatlego is the lady that helps us at our house. Mm-hmm. And she's from the Mountain Kingdom. You know, I had to sit down. I had to pull a chair as Makatlego. Because then what you also get from like on the ground is you get the deep, dirty gossip. And it's also always so distorted. The gossip is so distorted as well when you get it from the ground, right?
Yeah.
But according to Makatlego, Me Mule also was married. So Tom Thabane's wife was killed.
Yes.
And literally like a month or so later, her husband was killed, which cleared the way for the two of them to get married.
So in other words, it's a...
What?
I know, right?
They just take, so they just no take one's people had out. The it's conversation like the mafia.
About, no one's had the conversations about her husband being taken out.
Sure.
Holy.
This is worse than we think.
I was blown away.
My God.
What's the lady on Murder, She Wrote? The
Jessica Fletcher.
We need Jessica Fletcher to go up my Casella Pass and go and see what's going on. Grand, what happened? Who left their hairpin somewhere? Jessica Fletcher would find that.
And these are all so, old. Also, these are old people, by the way. The, you know, Tom Tabani's in his 80s.
He's 80 years old, guys. Yeah. 80 years old.
It's unbelievable. This whole thing is just unbelievable.
At 18, I want nothing to do with people. People mustn't, like, I just want to be, like, living my best life. Leave me alone. And here this guy, implicated in the murder of his second wife.
How does he still have the energy at 80 to be thinking about murder, kill him, kill her, Vula, out, Zuma, open, like, what?
Why do you even care?
I just can't believe this is all happening and he comes running to our country for security.
Well, apparently... The guy who was
but he's still prime minister. Paid. He's still prime minister now.
Bona, he started the party. He started the party. He's the Julius of his time. Dude, apparently the guy that was paid to off the wife also had run off and lived in Bloemfontein.
Yeah, we really are a consequenceless place. You can get away with, it's the Wild West. You can get away with anything. You really can.
Wow.
I follow on Twitter. I follow Otilia Masibanda. She's a journo, and she has been tweeting about what's happening out there in the Mountain Kingdom. So if you ever want a comprehensive thread that pulls out all of the, I mean. Like the guy who's supposed to be the general secretary of the party now was suspended by the prime minister because it is everything about it is insane.
Jesus. So the murderous woman, Maya, is 42. So his wife is 42. Tom Tobin, half
and
his
he's
age.
He's 80.
Yeah. Now he's pulled a full playboy.
Yeah, and he's also going younger in age because the second wife who was killed was 56 at the time.
Oh.
Sure, so he really does like him.
Younger's always better, yeah. Younger's always better, we know this.
Okay. Better good. For what?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about what would happen if the Cape had to go it alone. We have many discussions here, most of them theoretical, about what would happen. So Hein Marks is the president of the United Liberty Alliance, and he's on the line. Hi, Hein, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Cliff. Thank you for the opportunity to get the message out.
Sure,
I'm
man.
I'm fine.
Sure, I'm interested in what you guys are doing, and I don't immediately have a problem with it, like I'm sure a lot of people do, because I think that South Africa is a totally made-up thing, right? I mean, we have historically there were many republics that made up the Union of South Africa, which was a British colonial construct, and then when that broke down, we became a Republic of South Africa. But really, our borders are quite arbitrary. There are people who speak, for example, Shona on both sides of the Limpopo. There are people who speak Pedi on both sides of the Limpopo. And there are various parts of South Africa where it could be argued that much of what we call our sovereign borders are actually just totally made up lines that don't necessarily even have any border control. Now, the Western Cape may have a claim to secession. Where do you think this comes from, and where did you start taking an interest in these things?
Cliff, yeah, I just want to help you. It's not only the Western Cape that we're looking at.
All right, I'll help you as well. It's Gareth, not Cliff.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. sorry. Gareth, it's not only the Western Cape. It's basically we are looking at the areas in South Africa where the minorities are forming the majority.
Yeah.
That in terms, and we are totally 100% following international law on secession on this. Where did it start? Well, like you said, but you said it started in 1910. It actually started long before that. The first republic in South Africa was the Republic of Swellendam. Now, if you look at history, but you also look at the current situation in the world, people want to govern themselves. And in fact, if you look at International law, International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 1, says, and I'll just quote the first sentence of the three paragraphs of that law. It says, all peoples have the right of self-determination.
Yeah, but okay, now, Hein, let's just start off with this definition of peoples, because it does it does go to the absurd some of the time. I mean, I don't consider myself to be part of any people, so am I entitled to declare my property an independent sovereign state and expect to have a seat in the UN and such things? I mean, how far can you break it down? Is it a language thing, a cultural thing? Is it an ancestral thing? Is it a racial thing? How do you divide up people into peoples?
It sounds, Gareth, as if you've done a bit of homework, because international law actually goes much further, and it never talks about a folk or a Nazi. Make that very clear. It talks about a group of people, and it defines a group of people very clearly. A group of people that may secede must have one of the following four characteristics. And it starts, and you've actually mentioned three of the four. It starts with ethnicity, language, culture, and religion.
Okay.
So if you, as a group of people, but then it goes much further, where you form the majority historically and. But you're very correct with talking about this group of people. You can't just be just a couple of people there, because then international law goes even further than that, and it says that that must be a sustainable piece of land. Obviously, it's the same. Look at current legislation in South Africa, where you can't just take a farm and say, well, I've got a, call it a 600-hectare farm, and I've got six children, and I'm going to subdivide it into 6 100-hectare pieces. It's not sustainable, and therefore it's illegal. So there's a lot of legal stuff in terms of that.
Hein, this is Pumi. Can you hear
me? Good morning. I hear you very faint.
Okay. Is this better?
I'll listen. My ears are open. Yeah.
Okay. So, Hein, which one of these four, because it's only one of the four that you say you have to, it doesn't have to be all four. So which one of the four are you using to define the peoples who are now the minority that is the majority?
Okay, firstly, we've defined the minorities, meaning if we define the minorities, then we've got to look at those four points. Mm-hmm. And we actually use three of those four, and that's language, culture, and religion.
Who falls into your 223,000 mandates?
At this stage, it's 125,175.
Okay.
Who falls within that? Who voted for it is basically all the people. Remember, it's not only people that are defined as minorities that may vote. It's also people that does not fall into that category, that lives in the area, that may also say, well, I don't want to be part of others, I'll be there.
That's okay, I understand that, but what I'm looking is who is your defined minority that is the majority?
Right. The people that we define as the minorities, we've defined very much in detail on our website, but I will give it to you in broad senses. In broad senses, it's basically all European and all colored people in South Africa or Khoisan.
What if you, hi, Mbulelo here. What if you are part Khoisan like me? So do I have a claim? So my grandfather was Khoisan, but my mother is Sepedi. Now, do I get a claim there? Where does this identity politic end? Because now we know colored people have married black people.
Colored.
That's what I said. There are even European people that married black people. If that person is legally, because that's international law in that area, even if he is totally black, then you can't remove that person.
Even if.
That we must make very clear. The question of who is this group of people that we've defined is basically colored and European people.
You know, Hein, might be easier if you just said geographically, we're all part of a part of South Africa where maybe we want to be governed differently because the rest of the country is run very badly. You'd maybe have an argument there. But I get
very... Oh,
that's
part of the argument.
Yeah, it's an afterthought by the sound of things because that should be up front if you want to have legal standing. Because I as much as I'm supportive and sympathetic to people who are minorities in a country, it sounds a lot to me like kind of 1948. And I think that has been proven not to work.
No, Gareth, no. It's got nothing because you want to go back to the so-called race thing. It's got nothing, although international law actually brings race into it.
But you just,
this has got nothing
hold on,
to do with
Hein,
it.
I didn't bring race into it. Pumi asked you a very straightforward question about how you define this group of people, and you were the one who brought European.
No, you talked about 1940.
No, I'm talking about what you just said. Nothing. Forget about my comments about 1948. It stands. It's on the record now that that's what you brought up. Now, let's put race aside. So let's say religion. Now, I mean,
right?
The Western Cape. Western Cape's got an interesting mix of religion and non-religion, and you know, there's a lot of evidence to show that, in fact, the fastest growing religion in not just the Western Cape but the world is probably atheism. Are we talking about the Muslims in the flats? Are we talking about the nominally Christian neighborhoods of the southern suburbs or the much more Calvinistic Christian neighborhoods of the northern suburbs? I mean, what exactly are we talking about there? That's also a prickly set of circumstances.
We're talking about, in terms of, remember one thing, everything goes back to international law. You've got to have one of those three. But let's take religion in this case. Firstly, religion in South Africa, as Christians, we are the majority. We don't have a choice. That's a fact. But then I said earlier, we don't talk about the Western Cape alone. We use the 2011 IEC figures where the minority is the majority, which is basically the old Cape Province, or in current terms, the Western Cape, Northern Cape, and parts of the Eastern Cape, the western half of the Free State, and then a bit into the Transvaal, including Pretoria. So you talk about what happens to
Gareth, you
the
would
people
fall
that are,
into...
for instance, Muslims on the Cape Flats or whatever, they include it because there's freedom of religion as well. Why? Because they are in total in the minority here.
It seems you're co-opting a lot of people who didn't ask to be co-opted into secession.
So, because Gareth, you would fall into this.
I don't feel like I belong to any of this. Hein, I like the idea of people being able to operate without government, right? I'm totally in favor of that. But it seems almost what is that?
That's a libertarian.
Yeah.
Very good idea.
Yes, and I think that is appealing to most people who believe that they are ultimately responsible for their own future. And, you know, self-determination, I think, is a very powerful concept. It's worked in parts of the world where it's given people enormous strength and solidarity, and it's provided nations with all kinds of characteristics that can define them. But I'm starting to think that this sounds almost like we kind of can't make South Africa work, so we're going to just break it into smaller pieces and try to get those to work. And that would even be a good argument. But,
Who are the we're talking about? That's the problem. You're talking about we can't make it work.
I'm talking about
Gareth,
you.
If we had any say in the government, and if I say here, we're talking about the minorities. We don't have a say in the government. There are 117...
But you vote.
...BEE laws excluding the minorities compared to the 14 or 12 apartheid laws, which excluded the other people. There's 117 BEE laws. We don't have any say. So if we can define that which we've done, then it means very clearly that's why the country doesn't work. How many times have the president of South Africa, presidents, I must say, excluded everybody from our people? That is quoted Ramaphosa, where he talked about our people. And he specifically talked about the Nguni people. Now, this has got nothing to do with anything else than our right to look after ourselves in terms of Article 1 of the International Covenants on Civil and Political Rights, which, by the way, South Africa signed.
Is this twice?
The 3rd of October 1994 and then the 10th of December 1998. Again, they signed this. Sorry, yes?
Hein, do you never kind of sit back and think about, is this maybe not a reminiscing for a past that's gone by, a glorious past that's gone by, kind of feeling like if I were to, in my world, in the world of media, for instance, kind of wishing for typewriters in a world of computers.
I'm glad that you said yourself a glorious past that gone by. I've got to only use my experience of what I see in the world and what I've experienced.
Mm.
And governing this country before 1994, the person that wants to say that it was worse than it is today, I think that person must go back and sit down. So to answer your question, yes, I've done it many times. And the answer is, I want a country that must be governed for everybody, not only for a couple of people. And that does not include the masses that vote for the ANC, that does not get anything out of the billions that are stolen.
So you do feel that you are missing.
It's being stolen.
It's okay.
Have you seen any of the government officials?
It's okay. Calm down. So what you do feel is that there was a glorious past that was wonderful for you and your people, and you want that back. And what you want is you want a big chunk of this country
to be that way. Let me ask you something, Hein.
You see it only in one or two things. You see it must be that like it was before. No, that's not exactly what we don't want again.
Right,
we actually learn from the past.
Hein, tell me what you would like. I mean, imagine a perfect scenario for you. Like, tell me how that looks. Tell me what kind of a world would be ideal for you. I'd love to kind of understand where you want to take this.
Okay, Gareth, let's make it very clear. You said twice for me, for you. I want freedom. And yes, in a way, the way that libertarians think, with as less as possible laws, because unfortunately we can't not be governed. There are too many psychos running around in the world to use that word. What is a perfect world for people to be governed? And that is a law where, firstly, in terms of international law, all peoples have the right to govern themselves, to start off with. All peoples have the right to look after their own language, after their own culture, after their own religion, just to mention those three, which is not the case in South Africa. And by the way, South Africa is not the first country, and secession, the international law for secession, wasn't written for South Africa. 253 countries have already successfully seceded. The first one, 1776, was America. The last one was South Sudan. There are reasons why those countries seceded, to look after themselves. If you want me to go into exactly how we see the government system, we can, but we don't have enough time.
You're not helping me to understand, because I want to see a picture of what you see as the glorious future. I understand secession. Hold on. I understand secession. Secession as an international legal term is well understood. And I get the idea of secession. I'm trying to see what kind of country you imagine the Western Cape or whatever this...
Up to Pretoria.
All these parts of the country that currently make up South Africa that you would like to see extruded from South Africa. What would you like that to look like? Who would you like to see as president? How would you like us to sound? How would you like us to practice religion? What would you like to see that being as a unitary state?
Okay, firstly, it would be a confederate system. A confederate system, for the people that doesn't know what it is, a confederate system is a system that consists out of a couple of sovereign Confederate states, which, by the way, the central government is extremely small. It only consists out of the central government, out of Department of Foreign Affairs, the Army, obviously, because you've got exterior borders that you've got to look at, and obviously you need one money system. Otherwise, the people will officially govern themselves. If there's a president, if it's only a ceremonial president. This is the problem in the whole world, is that so-called presidents, or whatever you want to call the leaders of different countries, they have all the power, and whatever they say and do, everybody must fall into. It's the same problem that we have in South Africa at the moment, that the minorities are blatantly ignored. How do I see this to work? Well, if you have your own people that you have in your own Confederate state that look after you, your own people in a, call it, in inverted commas, political system, can take you out again and say, well, we're not happy with you. The political system that we have in South Africa at the moment is once in every 5 years, we give a vote and we say, here's my vote to my party. If that party is in power or not, they can do with that vote actually whatever they want to. It is not a system that works anymore. This is the reason while basically the whole of the Western world is actually, most of the Western world is getting up in arms to say, we don't want this system anymore. We want our people on the ground to look after us. And that goes down even lower than municipal systems. So do I want a perfect world? Everybody wants a perfect world. Will we have it? Most probably not, but definitely not the system in South Africa, where we've got 117 laws against us, and then if the government steals billions, they're not even prosecuted. There's not even a word about it. Sorry, Gareth.
Hein, Mbulelo here. So, Hein, could you maybe give me an example? Hein, can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
So, Hein, tell me, give me an example where the central state apparatus is not strong and it doesn't have a strong arm in the sort of lording over the people, where it's functional in the world. So give me an example where, so the nations that we all admire are unbelievably strong in central state. Give me an example where you see a secession and where we go back to simplicity, people govern themselves. Where do you see that working? Where have you seen that working? Just give me example.
I've experienced it. The best system in the world that works at the moment, and funny enough, is the closest to the Confederate system that we stand for, is Switzerland. By the way, that includes Geneva, just to make it clear. But Switzerland. Switzerland is basically a Confederate system. Somebody got it there.
Yeah,
we all did.
I think that's a little intellectual dishonesty there. My mother lived in Switzerland for a long time. So trust me, if you don't think the state has its hand over everybody in Switzerland, you try and change the size of your bathroom in Switzerland. You think we have it tough here with government? You can't flush after 11 in some place in Switzerland. The government is everywhere, all the time. Don't let the window dressing of Confederacy in Switzerland make you think.
The canton system.
For goodness sake.
Look, guys, I don't want to get into an argument. Yeah, I wanted to just hear what Hein had to say. Yeah. And I think that there might be people who want to support you.
Yeah.
Hein, there might be people who think this is a great idea. There might be people who think it's a terrible idea. Thank God we live in a country as it may be, that allows all of us to have these ideas and to generate some political noise behind us. How are your numbers looking at the moment? I mean, how many people are currently supportive of your idea? Do you have any clue?
Well, at the moment, it stands at 225,175.
Okay. That's a lot of people.
That is a
man.
Considerable figure.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
And Hein, I hope that that you continue your fight against central government. And you know what? There are parts of the country that I know Pumi would like to see the Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal separate from the rest of South Africa.
I agree totally with
you. Yeah, I'm sure you would. I know that there are people who think that Gauteng should be removed from the rest of the country and we should stop having to fund places like the Karoo. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I hope we can talk again soon. Thank you, Hein.
Gareth, I appreciate the opportunity. It's a pity we don't have enough time to go into more detail, but thank you very much.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for talking to us. There we go. There's Hein Marx. He's the guy.
Yeah, and he is the president
of the United Liberty Alliance. Yeah. So there we go. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I celebrate that he can express that. I love that we live in a country where a man can express such.
So here's the territory. The complete Cape Province to the Fish River. The western half of the Free State and the western Transvaal.
Woe to you too. In the eastern half.
Up to Pretoria. I'm fucking in.
I was hoping, I went to the site, I went to their website,
what
and
did you find?
I was hoping to find a map, right? I was hoping to find a map of South Africa. You know, like how they do with the Catalonians, where they have the map and then they have highlighted
the parts that's
gonna, like, I was hoping to see, because, like, I don't even remember what the Transvaal used to be. I don't.
It's,
and I used to go to the Eastern Transvaal for, like,
holidays,
camp,
yeah.
For camp. So I don't remember what the Western Transvaal up to Pretoria and including Free State. So I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering, because that kind of Free State up to Pretoria, if that includes Soweto, which would then directly affect me. But I don't know if the majority...
You have no say because you haven't paid your electricity.
But I don't know if the majority there is the minority. You know, there's so many things here. There's so many
Soweto
things.
You have back, but no electricity.
But is it going to be part of the secession here?
Hein and Mbulelo and I are going to remove all the electricity cables from Soweto.
100%. You don't get quality electricity. You don't even get poor quality electricity.
No.
You get zero.
No electricity.
Blackout.
Fuck all.
A lot like we have now.
Yeah.
Between
even less. If you think it's dark now, we'll put curtains, make it darker.
Wow. All right. Here's some comments before we finish it off. Wow. He was trying so nicely to package his dream of bringing the old regime back. That's from Gavin. Well done for calming the conversation down towards the end. There was this guy in charge of Cape Town. If it would remain part of South Africa, everybody should be worried. You can hear he's been attacked for his ideas, though he came in blazing and defending himself aggressively immediately. I don't think we attacked
that. We didn't attack the guy.
Yeah, I think we were reasonable. Looks like racism. Sounds like racism. It must be, I may have to immigrate out of Cape Town, and I'm European. That's what Jane says.
We're about to talk about European. How do we define European?
Big problems. Dano says this Hein guy sounds like every radical drunk uncle at the Braai. Hey, give him a chance. The guy's living in 1948 when he refers to Gauteng as the Transvaal. What happens if he's successful when minorities become majorities? Can those minorities in this new state then break away as well? Well, that's my point, is ultimately the difficulty secession has is now, let's say we grant the people of the Western Cape, let's say geographically, everyone, they're Muslims, the whites, the coloureds, the Indians, the Christians, the Jews, everybody in Cape Town decides they all want to get out of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to eventually want to separate out as Muslims and Christians and blacks and whites and Jews. And they're going to separate out even smaller and smaller until you get one person demanding that their house in Greenpoint is a sovereign state. It's ridiculous.
What does Siya Kolisi do now? Leave his colored kids with his white wife? I mean, what happens now?
No. It says here in their write-up, right, that they are forming strong alliances with the brown minority groups.
What shade of brown?
Strong
I'd like to know.
Alliances.
Cappuccino to
mocha. Okay, all right. All right, as long as it's clear then.
All right, everybody, this has been fun. But thank you very much to Hein. We're not mocking Hein. It's just a point of view.
We're understanding. Because this is what the world is about. This is the problem in the world, is we don't want to listen and understand each other.
Right. And you know, if he's got 200,000 odd people behind him.
He can't be an idiot if he's got 200 people.
Oh, it's more than the number of people who rocked up at Nazareth, right, for Cyril.
All right. You went there.
Yes. So thank you very much to Hein Marx, the president of the United Liberty Alliance. And we will be talking to a number of people who have the opposite view. I want to speak to someone from the Zulu Kingdom about how they could secede from the Union of South Africa, the Republic of South Africa. And who knows who else? There might be a small group of people in Knysna who want to form their own republic.
Or Midrand.
Midrand. Waterfall, technically.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's a nice republic. That could be self-sustaining. Why the hell not?
Hold.
And how's that different from any other little estate of people who decide that they want to be considered separate?
Yo, don't start it with the homeowners association. No.
So start thinking that way, because it's not so far away from Hein's idea. All right, everybody calm down before we start casting aspersions at each other. Ah, that's a stupid idea. Nope. Not until it comes home.
Homeowners Association.
Exactly. You learn.
Yeah. I had someone say that a guest of mine a weekend or two ago could not park on the lawn outside of their property.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Because, you know, they want to mess up their lawn. So now, is that a reason for me to secede from the rest of the homeowners?
Dude.
Maybe I should, huh?
Dude.
Declare myself an independent state. That's my dream. We can all dream.
Yeah, go ahead and do it, Gary.
Gary.
No, Cliff.
Shut up, both of you.
Hi, guys.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.